NASA's next manned spacecraft is the Orion, and Tiffany Williams is one of the program managers working on it from Aerojet Rocketdyne. Tiffany, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you are one of a number of women who are working on Orion and other projects that are part of a panel that spoke Thursday at AirVenture. Talk about that panel of rocket women.
Sure. So the panel consisted of leaders within the NASA Orion SLS
Space Launch System.
Yes. And it was just an opportunity to kind of talk about how we got here within our careers and within the NASA industry, if you will, as well as with the hope to inspire other women and even guys too. It's not just specific to women, but to other future engineers to get into this industry and be as passionate about it as we are. I mean, it's space. It's pretty cool.
The faces of the folks who are making this happen sure are different than they were in the 70s, the last time NASA was developing a manned spacecraft, when the space shuttle was coming together. There's a lot more women, certainly more minorities as well, but a whole lot more women involved in this than there used to be.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's still an industry that is predominantly male. However, we are starting to reach leadership positions and to really start to change the industry in that sense. I think we've always been there, but it's just been a lot less visible. So it's kind of exciting to get to this spot where we are today and to continue to inspire other women.
So let's talk about the part of Orion that you work on in particular.
Sure. So I am a program manager on the crew module RCS, which is Reaction Control System engines. These are the small engines that are responsible for attitude control once the Orion crew module is preparing for landing.
Now, we see those kind of as oval dots around the bottom of the cone, right?
Various spots around the cone, yes. They're what we in the industry affectionately refer to as pocket rockets. They're really small little engines that are really critical to positioning of the crew module.
Yeah, and so they don't show a lot, but they do a lot.
Yes.
What's special about the challenges of designing pocket rockets?
Challenging in terms of because it is smaller, it's easier to test. It's easier to overtest, if you will. You know, if you have a chance to stick something on a vibration table, you want to stick the entire engine on the vibration table. Whereas some of the bigger engines, for example, the first stage RS-25, which is also something Aerojet Rocketdyne produces, it's a lot more difficult to get a 5,000-pound engine, you know, on a vibration table. So, you know, the test part of it, which is both good and bad, certainly astronauts like it when we can test the living daylights out of it. But when you're in a competitive industry and, you know, you have other companies that are coming up behind you, there's a lot more focus on trying to make sure you're meeting your requirements without going overboard.
Now, just a few years ago, there was an unmanned test of Orion, so you do have some time in space. What did you learn from that specifically around the reaction control system that's been applied since then?
You know, the engine performed exactly as we wanted it to perform. So that was the good news. As we move towards human spaceflight, there's a lot more requirements that we have to meet. So there's a lot more testing that we have to do. And we've actually redesigned a part of our housing because it wasn't necessarily structurally where we wanted it to be. So that was one of our design changes. Otherwise, I think what we learned is that it was exactly what we had designed.
Expected.
It to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the next flight?
The next flight for us is Exploration Mission 1, which is scheduled for 2020. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We've already delivered our hardware, so it's been integrated into the Orion crew module. And we are currently in production for Exploration Mission 2. We're getting we're starting our major production in 2 months. So it's a really exciting time for us.
So you're firing up the pocket rocket factory then?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, there's a reaction control system on the service module, isn't there, that sits behind the Orion crew module? Is that right?
There is. I don't know a whole lot about the service module. We do produce the auxiliary engines, which is actually produced in the same factory as the RCS engines, but I'm not as familiar with it, so I unfortunately can't speak too much about it.
Okay, and then up and down the SLS, are there other kinds of propulsion systems, ullage, things like that, that you guys do?
Absolutely. Aerojet Rocketdyne, as I mentioned earlier, is responsible for the RS-25, which is mm-hmm. part of the first stage. We also produce the RL-10 engine, which is the upper stage for SLS. And then, as I mentioned, the RCS, which we're responsible, and the auxiliary engines as well.
Let's talk a little bit about your career. How did you get to where you're at? I mean, you have a position of real responsibility. You probably have some number, tens, dozens, hundreds of people under you.
I do. When I started out as a kid, my mom had me convinced I should be a lawyer because I was stubborn and I wanted to debate everything. But I had seen a what is now probably considered kind of a corny little show called Space Camp. And I love that show.
The movie?
The movie, yes.
Okay.
And, it kind of had always stuck with me. I always thought it was just a neat little idea, and I've always been interested in space.
So let's recap the plot, since you know the movie so well. What happens in Space Camp?
So in Space Camp, you have a group of teenage kids who are the redheaded stepchild of the group that's at Space Camp. And in order to prove themselves, they challenge them to become the best at Space Camp. And their reward is to sit on the shuttle during a test firing.
Except
everything goes wrong. And sure enough, they end up going up with the space shuttle. So the whole movie is about them trying to get back home safely and how that happens.
Well, that's a pretty fabulous fantasy.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So that inspired you to?
To actually go to Space Camp. I learned when I was in high school that Space Camp isn't just for little kids. They actually have a teenage version. And so when I was between my junior and senior year of high school, I went to Space Camp. And after that, I was sunk. I loved it. It was so much fun, and I learned that they give you an opportunity to try different tracks within the space. You know, you could be a mission controller, you could be an astronaut, and so I found my passion for engineering and for aerospace. The other thing I learned at that time is Space Camp is right next to the University of Alabama Huntsville, which is next to NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. So long story short, I ended up at UAH, graduated, and went to directly at NASA Marshall Space Flight Center as a support contractor. So I got to work shuttle for a while, and after that it was all over. I wasn't leaving the industry.
Oh, wow. So at the end of the shuttle program, is that when you went to Aerojet Rocketdyne?
It is. I was an engineer at NASA, and when I came to Aerojet, I was moved up as a project engineer. And then just a couple of years ago, I made the switch from engineering into program management.
Yeah. Kicking yourself over that one, are you?
Sometimes. I do miss being out there, playing with the hardware.
Right. A whole different set of headaches, isn't it?
It is. But it's a different set of challenges. It's pretty fascinating to lead a team of incredibly smart people, and how do you inspire someone that's already inspired in this industry to get something done within budget? I mean, money. As engineers don't want to worry about money. They want to just go do. So it's definitely a challenge, but I've really enjoyed the change. So.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So when the engine development work is done, does that mean that you'll end up on another project?
Potentially, yes. There's a lot of, there's still other missions out there. We're hoping for all the way through EM-11, so we could get into stable production for the next 10 years, which is certainly something to strive for, and something we want to do. But worst case scenario, if it didn't work out, then there's always the possibility of moving to another project.
So when you're in consistent production, That doesn't mean, I mean, let me say this again. So it sounds like once you're in consistent production, that doesn't mean your work's over.
Correct.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, in fact, it can be more challenging because, you know, people get into the mindset of, well, we've done this 20 times, you know, but it's not just doing it 20 times, it's doing it 20 times the right way every time. And so it's, how can you make your processes better? How can you do this more efficiently? And it's always a challenge in space because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, 10 years for 10 missions, that's a long time in the production world. Usually production is hundreds of units a year, and we're talking one to two ship sets a year at the most. So it's definitely still a challenge.
So if people want to talk to you this week, where can they find you?
You can find us at the NASA Pavilion with the industry group. There's a group of us out there that are ready and willing to answer any questions that you have, and certainly excited about sharing our visions and products with the rest of the area.
So when a young woman walks up to you this week and says, hey, I watched The Last Time Orion Flew on YouTube, blew my mind. Watching the parachutes come out and watch it fall through the clouds. No one had ever seen that before. Frankly, it blew my mind. But let's say a young woman comes up to you and says, what can you tell me? What advice can you give me? What do you say?
I would say just to get out there and don't be afraid to try stuff. You know, we all don't know right away that I ended up in propulsion systems. I never would have thought as a kid I'd end up in the propulsion industry. So just get out there and don't be afraid to try stuff. You know, aerospace in general has a broad reach. If you're not into space, you can certainly go into airplanes and the mechanical side of it. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities for women or even guys, you know, engineers in general out there. So just get out there and start trying stuff. Don't be afraid.
Tiffany Williams is a program manager for Aerojet Rocketdyne, working on reaction control system engines for the Orion crew module. Tiffany, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.